Okay, I'd like to call to order the Northtown Municipal Utility Board of Directors. Do I have Felix Burrow?
I'm here.
Christopher Capers?
I am here.
Glenn Campbell?
I'm present.
Lee Hill?
Present.
Okay. Do I have from the consultant side, Robert Anderson?
Robert's not here.
And it's Andrew Hines with Crossroads. I'm sitting in for Robert. He's on vacation.
Okay, thank you. Alan Dossett?
Present.
Mona Oliver?
Present.
Richard Fidel?
Present.
Roger Gonzalez? Deputy Gonzalez with us tonight?
I will text him.
Okay. I think he was going to go up first once he gets here, correct? After we take care of the immediate hours of the immediate items under the supplemental agenda?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Just let me know once he arrives. Cheryl Allen?
Hello. I'm here.
Great. Thank you. Scott Foster?
I'm available.
Okay. And then, of course, the attorney, Dean?
Carter Dean here.
Thank you. And then did I miss anybody else that's present? Are there any residents? Or anybody else that I missed? Okay. Having said that, is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment? Or any resident communications? Are there any board member announcements? Okay. Having none of either of those items, we'll move right to the supplemental agenda, item number two, for the election items.
All right, and I can handle that, Brenda.
Thank you.
If you'll just flip back to the supplemental agenda behind the regular agenda, we can cover the election items real quick here. So you'll see first in the supplemental agenda is order calling director election for November 3rd, 2020. As you all know, we have an election this year, November 3rd. It's a director election for directors Campbell and Amaro for new four-year terms. First off, we just need to actually call the election under the election code and approve this order doing so.
Okay, so I have a motion to call the agenda, call the election.
I want to discuss this motion before we go too far into it.
Okay.
The Travis County Clerk's Office, due to COVID, has consolidated in this last election where the closest polling place was the Stone Gymnasium here in Pflugerville, and my precinct was officially moved further than that up to Hendrickson High School. And as we go through this process, I would like our attorney or whoever is communicating with the clerk's office to clarify whether they will have a polling place that's reasonably located to the municipal utility district. The other thing that I saw today is that the governor has extended the early voting forward by a week so that there will be 3 weeks of early voting for this election. So we definitely want to make sure that we let our neighbors know, maybe through a message on the water bill, to vote early in that, to spread out the voting time. And I will move adoption after that.
Okay.
I will second. Oh, pardon me.
I was just going to, this Carter's just going to say me and Deborah can get in touch with them and make sure that we know where that polling location is and ensure that it's reasonably close to the district. And so your understanding is that it seems like there's not one that's very close right now, or?
Well, what they're doing is they're trying to get very large buildings, and this will probably continue into November, to where they can spread the folks out. Normally, our polling place is at Wheeland Elementary, and that is being in a hallway of a school. We don't even know if the school will be open. They probably will not want visitors in the school, so I doubt it will be Wheeland Elementary. The Stone Gym, because it used to be at the Travis County offices over behind Rio Grande Restaurant, that was too small of an area, so they moved it over there, but that place always gets overcrowded during early voting. Hickerson School will be in session. I don't know if they will have the room that they had this summer at Hickerson High School, but I think they were using the gymnasium there. I know at Davis Elementary over on Duval, they were using the gymnasium, the cafetorium, for that purpose. But when school's going on, I don't know what they plan to do, but I would like to know what they're going to do.
Yeah, understood. And I can get on that and let you know what we hear the plan is, make sure that it's workable for our district.
So, Lee, just to clarify, are you okay if they use the Stone Gym, or do you prefer something even closer than that?
I would like to see them to you if they – I would like to see for a general election for them to broaden the options with
okay.
only two in Pflugerville, and the next closest was over in off of Duval Road. They had lower COVID cases, so I went there. Pflugerville
okay.
had a lot of COVID, and I really didn't want to vote in that area.
Understood. Absolutely understand. Okay. Thank you for the clarification, Lee. Okay.
No
so
problem.
So, Carter, do you have enough information to go off of with that clarification?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lee, for bringing that up. And
well, elections is my thing, so.
Yeah, I understand very much so. So I don't remember who made the motion.
I did.
Lee.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lee did, and then Robin, you seconded it, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, we had a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you all very much. No one was opposed then. And thank you very much, Lee, for that input and that clarification and the suggestions. Carter, what's the next item then on that on the supplemental agenda?
Sure. Item two here is the election agreement and the joint election agreement with Travis County, including the resolution which approves both of those agreements. It's required by the election code. So we just need to approve that resolution approving the election agreement and joint election agreement. Of course, the joint election agreement basically stating that we agree to have a joint election with Travis County and the other participating entities, the other jurisdictions in the area, and all be on the same ballot and in all the locations that Travis County has for polling. And then the other election going into the allocation of responsibilities and costs and stuff like that. So both these election agreements necessary to approve with this resolution here. So we just need one motion for approval of this resolution.
And do I have a
this
motion?
This is Director Capers. I have a motion for approval.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Director Amaro, second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
And no one's opposed. Okay, great. Thank you so much, and no one is opposed. Thank you very much. Next item.
Sure. Item three here, the order adopting and implementing the use of accessible voting systems in addition to paper ballots in district elections. This is something that's also required under the election code, and it's basically just saying that we'll make sure to have an accessible voting system that's ADA compliant, that's certified by the I believe it's the Secretary of State for use for disabled voters at on-site in-person polling locations. So this order just says that we're going to have one of those. So we'll just need to approve that.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
I'll move that. It's a good voting system.
Okay. That was Director Hill. Do I have a second?
I second it with a comment.
Yes, sir.
I don't see that we have anything to do with that, since we don't control the polling place. But I agree, it should be there.
Yeah, and you'll see, Rob, in the next one, the number four kind of covers that.
Yeah,
it's kind of belt and suspenders. A little redundant here, but we have the next one's a resolution from Travis County for having the right voting equipment, including this ADA compliant voting equipment, and we'll also approve that resolution.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
so I had a motion. Yeah. I had a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well,
so
it's
then
down
item...
right now, folks.
Okay, so, and in the middle of that, item number four then sounds like it's just the belt and suspenders of the equipment used that's ADA compliant. Then is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And do I have a motion for do I have a motion for that item then?
Mr. Director Capers, I so motion.
Okay, so I have a
second. I'll second.
And that was Director Hill?
Yes.
Great, thank you. All those in favor?
And I have taken this voting system out and helped a voter vote in their car, so it is very user-friendly that way.
Oh, awesome. Great.
We should put that in your Uber. And
Is everybody in favor? I'm sorry, we had a motion and a second, correct? I've already forgotten.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
And everybody was in favor, right?
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Great. Thank you.
Aye.
Easily distracted, clearly. Okay. Is that everything, Carter, for the election stuff?
Just two more quick items, and we'll be through all these. Five here was just the notice of deadline to file applications for placing the ballot, and just wanted to let you all know we posted that timely, at least 30 days ahead of time, ahead of the date when it's open for folks to file whether they'd like to have a place on the ballot. So that's been posted. Then we also just need to authorize Armbrust and Brown to give notice of the actual election, and that'll be the last thing on the supplemental agenda.
Okay, do I have a motion to authorize Armbrust and Brown to what Dean Carter said? Sorry.
Yeah, Robin, I'll motion.
Thank you.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, moving on to budget tax items, and I'm assuming that is going to be Cheryl along with Alan, but most likely Cheryl.
Hello.
And I'll probably help cover this as well. Cheryl, did you want to start, or I can go ahead?
Well, are you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean we're talking about that tax rate classification here, and I can give my short explanation of it, and then we can get advice from Cheryl. But so as you all know, Senate Bill 2 in 2019 was passed, and there was a whole bunch of new law that came into place about tax rate classification and tax rate procedures. One of the most important things that bill did was turn districts into three different types of districts for the purpose of tax rate setting. So our district, we need to today determine which type of district our district is, and whatever classification we determine, that'll tell us the procedures and rules that apply to us. So I might have spoken with you as well, Cheryl, but spoke with Scott about this, and for the classification, I believe we are is developing district, and that's because we have not built out more than 95% of the district that's built out, bonded, and financed. So we would be the type of district called a developing or other district, as opposed to a developed, a fully developed district, or what's called a low tax rate district, which would be the third category. That low tax rate district would be for districts that have tax rates under, I think it was
0.025 cents.
Really low. So we're a developing district. Cheryl, is that your understanding as well?
Yes, because you're right, to be a developed district, the three district types are developed, developing, and then what we're calling other are low income, low tax rate district, or special taxing unit. So for developing, for developed, you have to be 95% of the bonds that you need for the infrastructure to serve the district, and all of the infrastructure needs to be in the district, which we, you know, obviously don't have at this point. And you still have just over 200 acres to develop. So what that means is if you're a developing district, that when we are calculating what you can levy for the maintenance tax, you get to go the 0.08 above last year's tax rate. So nothing really changes for developing districts. It's the others that have lower percentage over the last year's tax rate. So pretty much everything is the same for you. And I think Scott and I agree that it's developing.
Yeah.
Is there any action that we need to take in order to agree or officially designate us as item number three or developing district?
Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do, is just a motion recognizing that we are a developing district for purposes of tax year 2020.
Do I have a motion from anybody to designate us as a developing district for 2020?
I'll move. Oh, go ahead. I'll move so, Lee.
Okay. I have a motion from Director Hill that we are a developing district. Do I have
a second?
From
Director Morrow.
Okay. Do I have a motion and a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next. Do you want to go on to number four?
Let's see. Cheryl, would did you get that certified estimate through, which came through today or yesterday?
Yes. We got some numbers on Friday afternoon from TCAD, and then Monday morning we got more. Surprisingly, she's calling it a certified estimate of 2020 appraised values. I guess that gives her room to make some changes. But in any case, right now what she is showing as the net taxable value of the district is $814,578,298. She's also showing that she has under properties under protest, she has 625 accounts lined up for a total of $121.8 million. So this 814 number includes $105 million of the $121 lost to those protests. So I think your value will continue to go up. I don't think you'll lose 105 out of 121. So, but that's where we are at the moment.
Ms. Carter, we'll
how does that compare to last year?
Last year's value turned out to be net after exemption, $714 million, basically, or 708, I guess, was last year's certified value.
Okay. Thank you.
And then, yeah. And so that you know, for the numbers that we use for the bond issue, this is very, very close. So anyway, I think we're right in line with what we've projected for that.
How much of that is new construction?
That is changed up in, let's see. I'm looking. You know, all the forms have changed.
God bless you.
Well, I think it may be $5,066,000.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Line
23. Instead of at the top of the page, it's at the bottom of the page, but it's $5,066,000. Yeah.
Okay. Let me see.
All right. This is Carter. And Cheryl, do you have anything else on this item 4 here?
I don't think so. I think we'll talk about, you're going to talk about the schedule.
Okay.
Setting the tax rate.
Brenda, I'll move on to item 5, if that's all right.
Yes, sir. Of course.
Okay. So, again, just to remind you all that the schedule's there in the packet corresponding with Agenda Item 5. So right now we just, of course, discussed the certified estimated value of property in the district, but hopefully we'll have a final actually certified value by the time we propose a tax rate in August and meet to discuss our budget. But so we'll, at our August meeting, we'll discuss the budget and we'll propose a tax rate, of course. After that, we'll post notice of the public hearing, which will be the September meeting. And in the September meeting, we'll have the public hearing and adopt the tax rate and the budget. Thing I wanted to kind of figure out here, which I don't recall from last year, do y'all have a, and Alan, you could answer this as well, a subcommittee meeting to go over the budget before before the August meeting?
What I typically do, and this is Alan, is we'll pull together a draft budget, and because we met as a park subcommittee last week, so I have data there, and I'll probably reach out to Scott and discuss a few things, and we'll have something pretty much complete to review at the meeting in August, and then in between there and September, then the budget subcommittee then kind of finalizes thing to bring back in September, if that works for everyone. That's at least what we've done in the past. If y'all want to change that,
yes,
you know, we can discuss
that. I'd like to see something about 10 days before that's what the final is, about 10 days, 5 days before that final meeting, that September meeting, if we could.
Yeah,
also,
we should be able to do
for that public hearing that we're going to have for the tax rate. We might want to consider having a mixed with a few board members there in case people show up for the public hearing, actually have some people there at a safe distance. But actually, September, I think we might want to have a mix with some people telephone and some people in person there at the office.
So that's something I'm going to need to look into a little bit here. My gut thought is that we would only need to have a teleconference meeting and able to do that public hearing. It would be an unusual public hearing, and that it would be over teleconference. But was it Lee, were you getting at you wanted to have a kind of a dual meeting, or you?
Or not a dual meeting, a colo meeting where some people are on location, the majority are not.
Yeah, and that's what I thought you meant. And are you saying you want because to, you thought it? You think it'd be better
in case somebody shows up? Like the very first time we did this, Mona and I sat in the office together and participated. But it would be good to have somebody there in case somebody shows up.
Oh, okay. I got you. Just kind of informally, just to let them know what's going on in case someone does. That makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
And they can always have them give them the number to call in, but it is making sure that if it's a tax hearing, okay, let's make sure we do all we can if people want to participate.
Okay. That's something I believe we should have going on our website. And a couple other places required by law, a couple postings within district and at our office as well. But, okay, that sounds good, Lee. That's all I needed to say about the schedule. Sounds like we've got that all figured out with respect to when we'll have the budget subcommittee meeting. I just wanted to make sure we're going to have that, especially so we could discuss the cost of the new office building and whatnot. But there are no action items for 5.
Okay. Okay. So we are good to move on then to the consent agenda. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, items number 6 and 7?
Robin, I move so.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, no one's opposed. Thank you very much. I'm sorry?
And please tell Robert that we pulled it and discussed it for half an hour.
And it barely squeaked through.
There
let's
you go.
Let him know while he's on vacation.
Absolutely. Is Deputy Gonzalez here?
I'm here.
Okay. Did you need to go right now? Did you want to take your item up?
Yes, I could start my item.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So the June crime stats are in the packet. There was just a little uptick. Nothing to be really concerned about. I did verify all of the crime was spot crime, and that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions with the board?
I guess you can't tell us about the family violence that caused my street to be closed.
I cannot. Publicly, I cannot talk about that.
That's what I just wanted to confirm. I want to thank the DPS, the Pflugerville Police, and Travis County Sheriff's Department for their participation that day.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my.
Thank you.
Goodness. Gracious. Okay. Do you need anything from us, Deputy Gonzalez?
No, I'm good. If you guys need anything from me, you know how to reach out to me. And if you have any concerns, I'm always here for you.
Okay. Stay safe, please. Okay.
Thank you.
Then I guess we will go to the item number 8 on the agenda.
All right. We've broken this up into first bit here is the utility matters, the disconnection and late fee policies that we've had in place pursuant to Crossroads recommendations, and we just need to reconsider whether we want to extend those policies another month or not.
Yeah,
and
Kevin. So I was just going to say for the board's information, essentially from the feedback from the state and from other jurisdictions, we're in the same exact place we were this time last month. So our recommendation from the Public Safety Committee would be to just extend this.
I would concur with that because with the federal government still hemming and hollering about the extra benefits, there are people who are unemployed who will be facing a cutback in benefits that they have not seen henceforth. And so that it will be reduced at some amount from what they have been getting from the Workforce Commission. So we need to be cognizant of that those who might have been making as much or more than they had been on their job might be getting less now.
Okay. Do I have a motion to continue with the previous policy regarding utility matters?
Yes.
Okay. That's Director Hill. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Director Capers.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Great. Thank you very much. Item B?
Item B is just kind of a catch-all in case y'all wanted to talk about anything else related to COVID, but item C is the one we really need to talk about here, and that's district parks and recreational facilities and whatever Felix and Chris and Mona have determined as a subcommittee over the last month.
Okay.
Yeah, so I know Chris will probably have some feedback as well, but I would just say since our last time meeting, the state of Texas took a step back in its, obviously, most of you are aware of that, and of course now we're in a situation with mandatory mask wearing. Now, there's no enforcement from us as a district. Of course, we don't have the personnel or the possibility of doing that. However, when we put the stipulations into place last month, we took a look at what areas it made sense to notify residents who are off limits or not cleaned and not available. And so that decision we made for the 4th of July weekend is pretty much roughly where we are right now. We have obviously our services being taken care of by Mona's team, and she can talk about those. But right now, if they're in an open area that we couldn't close off anyway, we can't rope off the entire area. But if they're in an open area or walking the trails, the guidance right from the state and from the county is to wear masks, and then the equipment and on all the park facilities we've labeled to let them know that they're not deep cleaned on a cycle that would prevent the spread of COVID. So it's use it on risk on anything that they choose to use. And then Mona can talk about the things that her team has done to mitigate against that.
Currently, we have a lot of caution tape on all the playscapes. We've caution tape off the pavilion and put authorized personnel only because that's where the guys go in to pick up supplies and other necessities that they need. But it looks like it's been pretty good. No one has ripped down the soccer fields. No one has ripped down the pavilion tape. I think everyone's pretty getting used to the idea that everything's just closed right now. And, of course, we're just keeping the guys safe. We got an order of masks in and gloves, and they're definitely staying away from each other and riding separately now since we had a staff.
I do appreciate their attention to safety when I see them working out here.
That's good
Thank
to hear.
Thank you, Mr. Hill.
This is Director Capers. I concur with what Felix and Mona said. I'll let the board know that I think we've already talked about this, but we did close the park. We actually closed the entrance to the 50-acre park during the 4th of July weekend to try to create a sense of, of caution for that weekend. And I think as a district, we also need to think about with the upcoming Labor Day holiday as well, that we might do the same thing just during that weekend. Maybe close it up on that Friday and then reopen it on that Tuesday. So I would like the directors to think about that as a possibility.
But the walking trail will remain open for people that want to use it.
Absolutely, yes. It would just be the main parking lot to keep the park at a reasonable safety
level. We could still park across the bridge there over there in down from Wheeland Elementary and enter
that way. That's correct.
And park along the curb there and enter the park that way.
Right.
Carter, the subcommittee has the authority to just do that if they see fit, correct?
Yes. Yeah, y'all, they were granted the authority to make these types of decisions as they see fit, so... thanks for asking, though, because I think at the beginning, a few months ago, we were kind of bringing it back to the board anyway, even though they had that authority, but I feel like it makes sense just to let the subcommittee handle it at that level, unless it would like the board's ratification or anything.
Well, and I would just add that the good news here is with the 4th of July, we had also the all of Travis County and even Texas as a state from the governor's level, exercising those cautions around the holiday. So we'll probably see some sort of directive nearing the Labor Day weekend. And I think to Chris's point, it would be good if the subcommittee could just follow that guidance. So if the state and the county decide again to close their parks to Labor Day celebration, Labor Day activity,
the county is dealing with a lot of parks that get a far heavier use than our park ever gets. They have parks that are on the water. They have the loading ramps down there underneath Loop 360 Bridge. They have Hippie Hollow. They have a lot of stuff that they get way too many people at. Just because Peter does it doesn't mean Paul needs to do it. It's just, we need to look. We are demographically different. We don't have Zilker Park. If you look at the difference between Zilker Park and Walnut Creek Park, Walnut Creek Park will get heavy usage, but not what Zilker will.
Even within
the city of Austin, they have differences there. When they close three parks in the county, doesn't mean we need to go closing our park.
No. Just to be clear, I was just saying on the part of the subcommittee, closing the gate entrance like we did on 4th of July, just to that side.
Okay, but I would not call it closing the park. I would say reducing the park access.
There you go. Yeah, let's just call it mimicking what we did on July 4th with the same rationale, if that's the guidance.
Yes.
If at Labor Day things are looking much better and the city and the county have released or relinquished any of those guidances, we can follow those as well. But this would just be to have that main gate closed to the 50-acre park and then have it open, as Chris said, the following Tuesday like we did last time.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean to confuse those two issues. The park, the trails, and the other things that are accessible now would remain that way.
Okay. Is there any further discussion we need to have on this?
Doesn't sound like it.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Mona, you want to take up item number 10? Or are you ready?
That would be Andrew.
Oh. Are you sure?
Mona, I'd be happy to hand it to you if you want. I'm kidding. It's Andrew Hunt, Crossroads Utility.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
That's okay.
I'm confused.
I'm
so used to
sitting in for Robert tonight. I will quickly mention on the COVID discussion, delinquencies, we are monitoring that for your customers. We are recommending, and if y'all are okay with this, we'd like to proceed with it, but we're recommending what we call it internally a nice letter, which is just a letter that is sent to the folks that are past due, letting them know that they are past due and giving them the options to pay that bill. It doesn't mention anything about a disconnection, but we're finding, you know, there are customers that are that have auto draft or something that you know failed and they're willing to pay. They just don't know. They're not getting those letters. So if y'all are okay with that, we'd like to send those out here pretty quickly to the 400 or so that we have in delinquency every month. And then on the aid receivables, we are monitoring that. That is an indicator of the health of your district, and we have seen those begin to climb. But in my opinion, with Robert, it's not to the extent that it's alarming. You still have only 5% in 60-day that you're carrying every month, and then less than 1% in 90-day. And so, and then surprisingly, your 30-day receivable is very similar to this time last year. So it's kind of the same folks that weren't paying before are definitely not paying now, is what we're kind of deducing. But we'll continue to monitor that. I think you're making a good decision with waiting. The city of Pflugerville is just starting their delinquency process this week, which would then mean in August would be the first round of actual physical cuts if they do that. And then the city of Austin indicated they're going to begin theirs in September, but talking to some of the folks over there, it's more likely that they're just going to not cut anybody for the rest of the year. So I think you're right to analyze it every 30 days, kind of kind of look at what others are doing, but also what's best for your district. So I concur with that earlier decision. So item 10, our report is in your packet. Page 73 is the PDF page. I'll run through it, hit the high points. 2,981 occupied single-family connections, 3,121 total account. All of your water results were satisfactory, no issues with water quality. We've had a couple of recent issues with some lift stations. I think lift station 2, we had a rail issue that we resolved. The rail broke, and so we had to fix that on for one of the pumps. And then we've been having some sporadic electricity issue, phase issues out there, which we're very used to in the dead of winter and in the hottest part of the summer. We have those issues, and so we're working with Austin Energy on resolving those. Lost water, negative 4.73, which is good. Three write-offs are in your packet for totaling $561 for three accounts. And then the other item, our billing conversion is completed. We have moved your payment portal to a new payment portal. Many months ago, you probably don't remember, you signed a bunch of documents moving your payment, your merchant vendor from Pace Payment Systems to Bluefin, and so we have completed that transition last week. We had one hiccup that we resolved today. Our Bluefin contact selected the wrong setting in the credit card accounts, and so initially the payment portal was showing a fee that the customer would have to pay online, and so they have fix that today. It's been about a week for them to get that resolved, but they have committed to refunding all of those, and we have a list of those customers, and we plan to send out kind of a short letter saying, here, you know, we've refunded that, sorry about that, and this is what that is if you notice it on your statement. But that is all completed, and so the biggest thing is folks that are on auto draft, we've been reaching out to because they're no longer on auto draft. So with the move in payment vendors, we had to de-enroll them, and they have to enroll themselves. So that's the biggest push, really the most the biggest.
When you're through, I'd like to say something on this.
Yep, I'm done. That's all I got.
Okay, I went into it today and logged in and had to recreate my account because the credentials did not pass. I do IT work for a living, and one of the things that I realized was that in the process to create account, you have to put in your 10-digit account number. I happened to be arcane and get my bill mailed to me, so I had that in hand. For those people who select electronic and auto draft, they get their bill electronically or don't receive their bill because they're doing it electronically with auto draft. If they try to log in and they don't have their 10-digit account number, how well will y'all be handling those phone calls, and do we have on our website who to call if this happens?
We are prepared for that. So the email that will go out, and we send several rounds of these emails because, you know, people may not catch the first one, they may not catch the second one. It's over several months, but we intend to include the account number, I believe, on this next round of emails so that they have that if they don't already.
Okay. One thing I would like to say with this new system, they do have a page where people can set up their own communications preferences. There is also a message box so that if we have a message on our bill, we could also put it in the message box for a month, hopefully. So I did like the website and how it was provisioned for ease of use, but that was the one issue that I saw. If you don't have your 10-digit account, you're not getting in.
Yeah.
So I appreciate hearing what you're going to do with that. I do like the website. I'm the only person here paying a bill through y'all, so
I pay a bill through y'all as well, and I just wanted to say the decision to move to this new platform was a good one. The last one was definitely woefully inadequate, I would call it, and this one, very easy to navigate, easy to use. And, yeah, I'm the same as Lee. I still maintain a paper copy, so I had that number when I established my plan. But it all flows and functions much better than the last system.
Yes.
So we'll just give you all the credit. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, the beauty of that messaging system, too, is that now we have a way that people can control. It's all in their control. But we have a way to notify them of boil water notices or other issues or things that are important in your district via the billing system. So whereas in prior years we've had to rely on a third-party, you know, reverse 911 type system that we were constantly having to update, this is going to be updated because it's only going to send information to active folks in our system. So it's much better, built by much younger developers than the older system. So
that's good to hear, all the positive feedback.
Don't take any offense, Robert.
Right. I will pass along all the offense to Robert. You got it. I'm making
I meant Robin. Don't take any offense.
Oh, Robin.
He's an older developer, so just didn't want any him to take offense to you talking about them young developers.
No.
Hey, I just develop in Babbage, so I'm okay.
And on that note, do I have a motion to approve the write-off?
I motion.
I'll move.
I have a motion from, I heard Robin first, so do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, sounds good. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Did I get everybody's eye?
I think so.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Do you have anything else, Mr. Hunt?
I do not. That's it.
Great. Thank you again very much for standing in for Robert. And you're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting, but if you don't want to, we understand. Okay, Mr. Fadal, you're up.
Okay, a few comments on my report. Our crews continue to remain on schedule throughout the district. The spring wildflower areas went to seed in late June, early July. They've been mowed a couple of times now to disperse the seeds. We're tweaking the irrigation system off and on in response to the temperatures, trying to make sure that we get some water on some of the hot spots. That's not a perfect science, but we're keeping up pretty well. We did some more poison ivy treatment along a few segments of trail areas. The first application worked pretty good. This was sort of some different areas, and we'll have one more for the fall, I think, pre-approved. We completed a clearing proposal 9651, which was for a segment of the new property that borders the west boundary of the 50-acre park, and that opened up some nice existing desirable shade trees and so forth along the creek in there. I think that's all I have on my report. There are three proposals that follow. They've all been reviewed and supported by the park committee. I think it might be best we go down them one at a time.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
In this new area, or some other smaller areas, we're adding them to maintenance on a temporary basis at this point. The reason being is that the scope of that may change over time as it gets more developed. And so the first proposal you have should be for that recently cleared area of what I'm calling property number 5. But if you'll look, there's a map attached to it. The area that's hashed that has a number 1 in it, including the area along the property line, is what we're talking about. And this proposal would be for us to pick up maintenance effective August 1st at the cost of $210 a month. The plan is with your approval, is we would add that fee on as a line item, a temporary line item, to the ongoing maintenance monthly invoice so that you can see that it's a temporary nature and a certain situation, certain spot.
Richard, what's the proposal number for the one you're talking about?
There's not a proposal number on this. It's a maintenance proposal. It's dated July 9th
okay.
of this year.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. And what's
so
the dollar? Go ahead.
$410 a month.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Okay, and do I have a motion to approve this?
I'll move, Lee.
Okay, and is there a second?
I'll second, Robin.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Great, thank you very much. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, we'll put that into effect. The second proposal is proposal 9685. This is for a phase. You have ragweed in different places throughout the district in some pretty good outcrops. One of the worst areas is over at the new office site, and this is a phase one approach to go in and remove that ragweed. We'll chop some out. We'll cut some out. This is a not-to-exceed amount.
This being right next to my neighborhood, I'll move approval.
Okay, do I have a second?
Director Capers, I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. We'll get that back. We'll get that on the schedule and report back next month.
Great.
And then
the final
proposal dated July 20th is in a memo form, and there's an area of Battenburg that at one time was being maintained in Brookfield, HOA, being maintained by Brookfield, top of Battenburg. And last June, they realized that actually was district property, and the district took that over and asked me to begin maintenance. I quoted a fee of $380 a month and never formally took it before the board. So we've been maintaining it since that time, not billing for it. I'm asking for it to be temporarily put on the schedule officially as of August 1st.
And is this along the park?
It's along the street, the Battenburg Street frontage. It's grass. It's got irrigation in it that we tend to, and it has one area of it in front of a detention pond has some trees.
Okay.
Good
okay.
price.
Do you have a motion for this item?
I move. Yes, Robin.
I second it with a question.
Yes, sir.
Richard and I guess Carter as well. It sounds as though, Richard, your team has been handling this since you brought it before the board and offered to take over it. Should we be looking at compensation in the arrears for the month that it has been done?
I'm okay with that being pro bono at this time, or however you want to put it. It was my mistake that I didn't really bring this forward. I got lost in the shuffle. And we're okay on it. You guys are a great customer. I appreciate it. And I would just prefer to move on from this point forward. If that's okay with y'all.
And no comment from me over here. It sounds good to me.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
But thank you. Thank you so much, Felix, for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anything else for us, Richard?
Unless you have questions, that's all I have to report.
Thank you. We didn't vote on that one, did we?
No.
No.
Sorry, I have a motion to
seconded it.
Oh, you did? That's right. Oh, yeah. All those in favor.
Aye.
Thank you. We'll get it officially on the schedule.
Great. Thank you very much. And you two are welcome to stay if you'd like to. Otherwise, you're free to go.
I'm going to stay and just do the district manager's report.
Okay. Mona, go ahead.
The restrictive covenants
report is in the packet along with the monthly expenditures, and of course the reservation ledger is flat. The solid waste report is in the packet. Did the subcommittee have any comments about the TDS report?
No, they're out here every week and doing a good job.
Okay. For purchase requests, I do have one that's in the packet. The Public Safety Subcommittee was interested in adding a drinking fountain that had a water bottle station. So I got with Barnaby that's helping us with our office building, and he found this one that seems pretty good and very suitable for us because it is vandal-proof. You usually see vandal-resistant, which is the existing one we have, but this one says vandal-proof. So this fountain, if we buy it directly from them, would be $4,650, and I'm asking for approval to purchase that to put it at the pavilion so we can try it out and see if we want to put it in any of our other new facilities.
Do I have a motion for approval?
I'll move it.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it. Yeah, second.
And this is going in by the restrooms there?
Correct.
In the pavilion? Okay.
Correct.
My dogs won't drink from the little one. Maybe I can fill a water bottle for them and take a bowl, one of those collapsible bowls with me.
Yep.
Something else to try.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Great, thank you.
And then hand in hand with that, we need someone to install it. I got a couple of different quotes. And I would like to ask to get authority to use a preferred vendor who did some work for us at our office at one point. There's a little bit of unknowns because of that cinder block and what's in there, and we don't have the as-built. So I'd like to ask for not to exceed $700 for the plumber, a licensed plumber, to install that, just in case he has to do any cinder block work.
Do I have a motion to approve?
I motion that, Director Amaro.
Okay.
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Great.
Hey, Mona, just a quick question. Something that new, why don't we have our as-built on that?
It just isn't described as accurately as you might think.
I got you.
One last request that came in kind of spur of the moment due to a staffing social distancing issue that we will be facing probably next week. I would like to request that we can buy an additional Kubota for the price of $17,500, and that way our crew could all be on their own and not have to ride together. That is a bit of a concern after the last scare we had about 10 days ago. So I would like to request to purchase another Kubota for $17,500.
May I ask something on this?
Of course.
How often are we utilizing the pickup truck? Could we have somebody using the pickup truck as well? Because I often see it parked there every time I drive by during the daytime, which is daily at lunchtime. I know you use it sometimes, Mona, but before we go buy another vehicle, I'd like to make sure we're getting, you know, during the working day, good utilization of everything we have before we spend another $17,000.
Sure. I think the biggest problem with the truck is it can't go everywhere like those ATVs can, go in between all the trees and go everywhere. And they're a lot more efficient fuel-wise also and maintenance-wise.
$17,000 will buy a lot of fuel. As an Uber driver, I can tell you that.
Right. Well, I think we're looking forward to that eventually we're going to need another. We have approval for one more employee, but we're kind of holding off now because of all this COVID stuff. But we'll eventually need another one with all the additional parts to get in and get out.
Oh, in that I understand, and we're also going to have more room to park things once we have our headquarters built.
We were looking at it from a budget perspective that we had the money this year left over in the budget, so that's why we were wanting to do it this year. on this year's budget because we didn't spend the money that we were expecting to.
Okay, let's go ahead and do it then. It's just something that I wanted to bring that up, that the truck is probably being used 5% of the time. And I do see the Kubotas being used, and I did see them doubled up for a while, but they're back
absolutely.
To single
in
the Kubota. So I understand.
No, absolutely. It's a good question to ask. It makes perfect sense. We should just go buy something with no questions.
And we do need to follow up. Mr. Capers and I and Mona need to follow up on the vehicle policy, retention policy and maintenance and retention policy at some point.
Okay.
We let that slide.
kind of busy on other stuff.
Yes.
Do I have a motion to approve the Kubota?
Real quick, this is Carter. Mona, do you have a price quoted on this, or are you looking for a not to exceed?
I do have a price quoted. The price is $17,468 from Ewald Kubota.
And that's no tax on it, correct?
No tax.
Okay.
Are there any and I call them accessories, but are there any things that you would need, anything above that exact number to bring in the vehicle with all the necessary components, or do you have those from the other vehicles?
Yeah, this would include the turn signals to make it street legal, the wrench, the windshield, and the roof like the others.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So,
okay. Motion?
I would motion it, Director Amaro.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, great. Thank you very much. Mona, do you have anything else?
The last item is F, and that's mostly going to be in Scott's area. So, Scott, would you like to take over?
Yeah, good evening.
Facility construction?
Good evening, everyone. This is a kind of more of an administrative process where we're at on these next few items on the Wildflower Pavilion project. I believe in y'all's packet there's a series of draft documents related to what we call an integrated pest management plan, where basically we're following the same guidelines that Richard's been using for years, that he's basically saying we're not going to go nuke everybody with diesel the first day. We're going to entice the pest to be nice and use lower volatile type organic materials as well as fertilizers. So that this is a city required document to get our permit. There's also the need to
What type of pest does this include? Does it include skunks and rattlesnakes and Antifa?
No comment on the last one, but I heard you. It does any rodents, general insects, and weed control. So similar to what Richard's already been doing is what I'll say is the best way to characterize
it. Okay.
So this is an agreement and a restrictive covenant with the City of Austin that we need y'all's authority to negotiate and execute. We're also needing to dedicate what we call a blanket electric easement to the City of Austin in order to get power across our lot to the future pavilion over there. And so that's something that we will need y'all's approval on. And finally, we need to negotiate and execute some easements for the benefit of the district for a wastewater easement from the village people on their adjacent lot, as well as we need them to also negotiate and execute an electric easement. So there's some legal items that we need y'all's authority to negotiate and execute, standard documents, I'd say, at this point in time to close out.
I move all three, get approval to negotiate all three.
Okay. I second all three.
And you want us to run them by the subcommittee for execution or not?
Not.
Okay.
These are fairly standard, especially that rodent. I was reading that when they were that packet you sent us, Scott, with the city's response to your thing, and I was scratching my head on what pests were included in that. With the City of Austin, they could have a very broad spectrum of pests. homeless guys running around with no pants, you know, things like that, you know. Who knows?
So I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Got you
aye.
Laughing, Brenda.
Aye.
I don't know where to start with some of this.
Hold on. Did everybody approve? My apologies.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I didn't know if I heard all the ayes. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Scott, go ahead.
With that, obviously, as is our standard protocol, if there's anything that's substantive that we need to bring back to the board, we'll bring it back next board meeting. And I will also probably have some similar documents required for the office once we identify them. The second aspect of the pavilion project is similar to what we did on the Force Main project. There are two fees that are required to be posted. One is a posting of a fiscal for the erosion control. That will be refunded to the district upon you know, the completion of the construction. I'm trying to get the amount in front of me. I think it's around $15,000. And the second one was this: the standard fees for the permit. And I believe that was $5,500. My email is not opening up, so I apologize. So the erosion control fiscal is for $50,175, and the we'd request that the fees that's currently identified as $5,307.12, we would like that to be opened up just a little bit more for and authorize Alan to be allowed to wire that money in the similar format he had to before on the Force Main project, since the city's not open now to open up except checks still. So that's the motion would be around $15,175 fiscal, and authorize us to pay you know, $5,300 plus whatever incidental fees come in this project.
Do I have a motion for that?
I'll move that.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. Great. Thank you.
And other than that, I'll say that y'all's project's coming along very nicely right now. We hope to be have the pavilion approved maybe by the end of August, and probably the office project probably the end of September at the rate it's going. So things are moving nicely.
Okie doke. When do we think we'll be going to bid with the Force Main project?
That's a good segue into my next portion of the report. If we don't have anything on the parks, Lee.
Okay. No, the parks. I understand the that's another one that I'm just curious about.
Directly related to the main project, the subcommittee has not discussed when to bid that. I'm going to back into my report somehow in here. This TCEQ did approve the order after our packet went out to the district attorney for this. So the TCEQ has approved it, and Cheryl is working on finalizing the City of Austin approvals and everything else. Lee, I would believe that we will probably, you know, the subcommittee can mention it tonight, today, is to go ahead and proceed with bidding the project. Is we'd probably start construction likely the fall. November, December, but that may be hit the holiday season. So I think we're going to want to bid it out here soon and determine when we want to start construction. Does that answer your question?
That sounds good because, but you know, I don't know when we're going to get out of this COVID and when school's going to start up, when traffic's going to get bad. But the sooner we can start turning dirt before traffic gets bad, for the safety of the people doing the work and the sanity of the motorists, that would be good.
Acknowledged.
And just to add to what Scott said, we did get the staff memo from TCEQ. We are waiting on the order from them, and I suspect that should be sometime next week. Then we'll send it to the City of Austin. I've already worked with the City of Austin on the structure of the deal, and they've approved that portion of it. As soon as we get the order, we'll send that over along with the resolution y'all approved in April. So I expect that's going to take the city roughly 2 months to get that approved. So if we're saying they get it in August, that'll probably be August, September, and then we'll be looking at October, November, I think, to sell, and hopefully December to close. But that's if all the stars and planets line up. So first, it could be January, but I think we should be able to get it done in that time frame.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Brenda, I don't know if you had anything else on parks. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, you're fine. No, that was it.
Okay. On the engineer's report, on your development matters, I'll just say that you think with everything going on that things will be slowing down in development world, but all your projects are fairly active right now. My report is in the packet on that, so y'all can read that to your pleasure. We did discuss item D, which is the Desol Force Main Replacement Project, and Felix, Robin, we should have a subcommittee meeting here shortly in the next couple of weeks to talk about this and probably also the village people.
Yeah, and then I agree.
Item E, you've already had the update that, you know, we're close to getting that one wrapped up from a TCEQ standpoint, and Cheryl gave her commentary on the city. With that, I will let y'all know do y'all have any questions for me?
Any questions, anyone? No? Okay. Alan, I guess you're up.
All right. That went quicker than I expected, so I apologize. I think I have the thing pulled up here.
Hey, you can take Scott out of order.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get my hard copy. Okay. This really all I wanted to talk about today is just going over the updated list that Deborah sent out this morning for our bills and invoices and transfers. I did meet with Felix last week to go over the items that were sent out last week in our packet, the invoices. I did also want to clarify real quick, Scott. So we need to wire the $15,175 for the fiscal, is that right? I thought we were just doing the $5,307.12 for the permit fee through ACH at the City of Austin's website.
No, we have to do both of them.
Okay, good deal. We will take care of that. So in the email that Deborah sent out this morning, see, we have several transfers we need to make. The first there being funds in your Chase account. We need to move over to your operating account at Text Pool, amount of $275,000. We've also got funds that we need to move into your manager's account to help fund today's payables for $457,423 from your Text Pool operating account. And then we're making an additional transfer out of the same account and into the same account for $58,000. And this is to replenish the manager's account balance that we're able to carry. And that was for all the items we processed in between meetings. We also have your deposit refunds. We need to fund that account for $4,000 out of your operating account there at Text Pool. And then we're moving your collections that go into your lockbox there at Compass over to Text Pool in the amount of $90,000. You can also see listed there we have your bond payments coming due this next month. So you can see the six series of bond issues, total payments of $1,955,846.88 that we need your approval to make those payments timely. If you flip back or scroll down a couple pages, I should say, you'll see the updated list of disbursements from what we sent out. All the items without the asterisk represent the ones that were in your packet and we reviewed last week, Felix and I. Otherwise, in the middle that you can see there, we made an additional payment to the City of Austin for some utilities, and then we had your TML health benefits payment that we made. And then below there, we've added some additional director fees for Director Amaro, Capers. We've also got your Davy tree tree removal, had an invoice for that. We had some surveying in the park with Lynn's Associates, and then Richard had a follow-up invoice for some poison ivy treatments. So we have included that in the mix as well. That the next page down is just a listing of all the deposit refunds that we had for the month. So we just need your approval on that. And I believe that's it. Like I mentioned earlier in the meeting with regards to the budget, I will take a good stab and probably reach out to Mona and Scott, maybe Robert, as far as budget items. I'll have a draft for the meeting in August, and then we'll hone that a little bit better before the September meeting. And Leah, we'll shoot to get that out over a week before the meeting starts to you, so you and the rest of the board, so they can review it and answer any questions before the meeting.
Do I have a motion to pay? Oops, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. You have a motion to pay bills and invoices and transfers? Is that you, Chris?
Motion that's your papers, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And do I have a second?
And the bond.
Second.
Who is that, Director Hill?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, great. Thank you very much, everyone. Okay, I don't believe there are any landowners or developers on the phone or their representatives. And I'm guessing we don't have anything new to report on the water or wastewater rate challenge, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And did you have anything to report, Mr. Attorney?
I did not. Everything I needed to address was under other agenda items. So we're good on my report.
Okay. Is there anything else that we need to discuss at this time? I guess not. So having said that, do I have a motion to adjourn at 7:02 p.m.?
I so motion. Robin.
So
I'll second.
Great. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Could y'all be safe, please, and stay as healthy as you can. And
thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night,
thank you
everyone.
Very much.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.